Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
One of Rob Parker's, am I wrong to call him one of your favorite quarterbacks?
He's one of my favorite clutch quarterbacks.
All right. Eli Manning retired today after 16 seasons. First of all, let's just go
well,
here.
Well, I think Friday's the announcement.
A source revealed that he's going to retire.
On Friday.
But are you surprised? First of all, we're getting, there's so much to unpack, but are you surprised?
Nah, not really. I think he probably feels like there's nothing left in the tank. I know he got to play another game or so before it was all over. Won one, lost one, so he stayed at 500. Probably family is like, just get out, you know, and maybe he doesn't want to be like all the other quarterbacks who wind up putting on another uniform and just decided that, you know, I did my thing. I was a New York Giant. I forced my way there. I won two Super Bowls. He will forever be loved in New York, and he's good with that. I mean
he's like Joe Namath.
When you win in New York and you win the championship, you are a made man forever. I mean, Joe Namath, all these years, won a Super Bowl in 1969, and he's still the talk of the town.
Right.
Even though most people never saw him play, you know, and only know him probably from commercials and stuff, but he's a legend.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think what happened is that, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think Eli also beat the bushes or had his people beat the bushes and found out there wasn't that much of a market out there for him. I don't know where he was going to go and be the starter next season. Maybe people thought with Tom Coughlin, but when Coughlin got fired, then that took that option away. So I think that rather than go and have to fight for a position somewhere or sit on the bench somewhere else, he decided, you know what, let me call it quits. And he should. I think it's time. And he's had a great career. He's a definite Hall of Famer. I think he is. I'm not as strong on it as you are.
Either you are or you aren't.
Yeah.
I don't believe
in that.
Well,
I do think there are people, though, that
either you are or you aren't.
Larry Walker is. Is he?
No, I didn't vote for him.
But he is in the Hall.
Yeah, but I'm saying.
So to some people you are, to some people you
aren't. No, but I have to identify him as a Hall of Famer. He's in.
Right. I'm not saying. There are guys.
I'm not talking about that. I just mean from the standpoint, either you're voting him in or you're not. You can't say.
I mean, that's your philosophy.
Right.
Which is fine.
But either you're voting him in or you're not. If I ask you if he's a Hall of Famer, you say, yeah, but I'm not that strong about it. But still your vote is that you would vote him in.
Yeah.
Okay, so
that's
what I mean.
Yeah. I just don't
you
feel
could
as
say
strongly
no,
about it as you.
But you could just say no,
yeah.
You don't.
Yeah, but I would put him in because of the two Super Bowls. I do think personally a big part of it is he did it in New York. And I think everything done in New York is bigger. Whether it's bad, if it's bad in New York, it's worse.
I think that's not
everything's
true.
Everything's magnified.
I just don't believe
Isaiah Thomas. Is he the worst GM in basketball history? No. But he struggled in New York.
It was pretty
so
bad.
So people look at it that way. Yeah, but his draft record was one of the best during his era. So he didn't do that great, but the worst ever, that's what some people say because it happened in New York.
No, but I think the reason that they're so big on Eli has more to do with he was the Tom Brady Patriot killer. He
really?
Won, yes. And
Brady won six championships.
No, but he didn't beat Eli and the Giants, and they beat that 18-0 team. You could say whatever you want. That is one of the biggest upsets in the history of pro football, maybe pro sports. They were averaging 35 points a game, rolling over everybody. The 19-0 t-shirts were printed. They wound up in Ecuador somewhere. And everybody was convinced that there was a coronation for Brady and the Patriots, and Randy Moss had a gazillion touchdowns, and everything was just going to be there. Tom Brady gives them the lead with 2 minutes to go, and Eli Manning pulls out a miracle and beats them.
Well, David Tyree had a lot to do with that too.
That didn't. That a wasn't a touchdown.
Catch.
But that wasn't.
No, but the helmet. Catch. If it wasn't for the helmet catch, there wouldn't have been a touchdown.
If it wasn't for Eli to avoid the sack,
right? Great
and
job.
Step into it and make that throw to even get it up there. That was more impressive to me.
No, Eli. Look, he had some great clutch moments. And that was one of the biggest upsets, certainly in NFL history, and you can argue in sports history, but that doesn't necessarily mean you belong in the Hall of Fame. But I'm with you. I'm going to say he's a Hall of Famer, but I'm there are guys that are definites. There'll be no doubt. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, you know, Adrian Peterson. And then there's guys that some feel is a Hall of Famer and some feel is not. And then some guys are like, I guess he's a Hall of Famer. And that's where I am on Eli. But again, I feel like had he done this in Tampa, had he done this in Minnesota, I'm not so sure his legend would be as big as it is, but he did do it in New York on the big stage. So we will give him that.
I think it's
we'll
a big stage. He didn't win those games in New York. He won them at Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he played for the Giants.
Yeah,
is what
but
I
it's
mean.
The Super Bowl. Everybody's
watching.
It's
not everything magnified, Rob, in New York.
But I don't believe it's just that he played for the Giants. I'm saying it was Super Bowls. He won Super Bowls where everybody in the country in NFL America is watching, and he was clutch. He has arguably two of the best throws in Super Bowl history. You could call it whatever you want, but he owns those. That Manningham throw up the sideline is also, people remember that. That was a clutch throw in a clutch situation. If I'm in a Super Bowl situation and I need a clutch play at the end of the game or whatever, I would take Eli Manning over Tom Brady any day.
It
wouldn't even be close.
What?
Eli Manning any day over Tom Brady. In a clutch moment, I would take
Eli. How many game-winning drives does Tom Brady have? When Tom Brady was at Michigan, not a great quarterback, but he was clutch at Michigan. They called him the comeback kid.
Did he win a national championship at Michigan? No, but he won six Super Bowls in the NFL. I don't remember that at Michigan.
In many of those Super Bowls, he had the game-winning drives. I don't care if it ends in a touchdown or if it ends in a rushing touchdown or if it ends in a field goal. He led the game-winning drives. How in the world? All their Super Bowls are close.
You know what I love about
3 points.
Eli is that
10 points was the biggest.
Is that Eli, when you look at his highlight reel, Adam Vinatieri's not in it. He's not a co-star in the video. It's about Eli making the big plays. And Eli
is as
clutch.
He doesn't have as many. How many has he got? Two?
All I know is he beat Brady twice.
That's fine.
He beat Brady twice. We're
going to give you a Hall of Fame plaque for that.
Yep.
But we're not going to call you the most clutch quarterback. He's more clutch than Tom Brady.
I don't remember.
Tom Brady was clutching all six of their Super Bowl wins.
No, he wasn't.
Yes,
he gave up the football against Philadelphia. He also threw for 505 yards. But with 3 minutes to go, he gave up the football.
So we're going to neglect the first 50 some odd minutes of the game because he dropped a pass or had a turnover.
Two of the other Super Bowls that he won, Tom Brady threw a total of one touch. He has two Super Bowls off of one touchdown. I'm just saying. So he ain't all that clutch.
How many game-winning drives?
He also threw a pick that should have cost him the game against Kansas City last year in the AFC Championship
game. When I look in the box score,
game.
I don't see a pick.
But you know what? Ford lined up off lines.
So when we look in the official box score, is it a pick?
I said he threw a pick. It would have been a pick.
Did Aaron Rodgers fumble three times?
We're not talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Or did he just lose one? I'm talking about Tom Brady. The official box score has no interception.
He threw a pick and he got lucky because
whatever the case,
he's been lucky his whole career.
Stop it! This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Eli Manning more clutch than Tom Brady. I mean, come on.
It ain't even close.
You're right about that. That's the one thing you're right about. That's the one thing you said.
No, Tom can, because Eli beat him twice.
Rob G, how many game-winning drives?
If he's the GOAT, how could he not? How could Eli not be the GOAT? If Brady's the GOAT, he beat Brady twice.
In those games, Rob, Tom Brady led go-ahead drives, and then, to his credit, Manning came back with game-winning drives.
That's called clutch.
Right.
That's called clutch.
But that's not Brady's fault. Brady did his job. The defense didn't. You always talking about with other quarterbacks. I don't have to name them. Aaron Rodgers. When he didn't win, it was because the defense couldn't hold. And now here we go. The defense didn't hold for Tom Brady, and you're going to blame Brady for that?
In all the years.
Brady led the clutch drive.
In all the years.
Get the ball back.
Brady played in the playoffs. His defense gave up 40 points one time in that Super Bowl to Philadelphia.
I'm not talking about
that's
total
all.
Points. I'm talking about the game-winning drive.
I'm telling you that Eli...
When you've held him for most of
Eli
the game and then you can't hold him at the
two Super Bowls
end.
From Brady.
Okay,
he snatched
so that
two
means
of
he's
them.
Better?
Yes, he's more clutch.
Stop it.
He was able to drive the ball down the field and win and beat the 18-0 Patriots.
Has Brady done that?
He did it against Tom Brady's
Seattle?
Team.
How about the comeback against Seattle in that Super Bowl? How about that what Brady did? How about coming back
Seattle
against
gave
Atlanta?
Them that. Gave them that.
Oh, yeah, they gave
Atlanta
them.
Gave them that.
You know what,
that.
Then? I like your style, Rob. The Patriots gave Eli those marches.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they gave it to him.
Okay.
They gave it to him. They put the bubble gum on the top of David Tyree's helmet so he could make that catch. They gave it to him. Or better yet, they didn't show up. They didn't show up. They had averaged 30 points a game for the season. They only scored, 14 against the Giants? They didn't show up. That's why they lost. I can't give Eli the credit. The Giants, the Patriots just didn't show up. I mean, come on. Eli Manning versus Tom Brady? All right, Rob G just hands us some stats. I mean, we obviously not doing a career comparison.
No, I'll give you just to talk about the gist of this.
This is tiny.
Eli versus Brady head to head in the Super Bowl.
What Super Bowl?
No, just in those two games.
Okay.
Eli completing 66% of his passes, 551, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Brady completing 63%, 542.
So Eli was
3
better,
touchdowns,
right? Oh,
one
I'm
pick.
Sorry.
So they're almost identical. Then even if you look at their playoffs per game, because the totals, obviously Brady has a lot more of them.
Right.
But per game, other than yards, which Brady averages 278 versus 235 for Eli, they're pretty much identical across the board.
Thank you. It ain't no whitewash.
Yeah, but that one's got 6 Super Bowls and one's got 2.
But the
I'm just giving you the information.
But the 2 are against Tom Brady.
Okay. Yay. Yippee. Wowzy, wowzy,
wowzy,
woo-woo.
Wowzy, wowzy, woo.
I mean, that doesn't mean he's better than Tom Brady in the clutch. Brady's got 6 of them, Rob, and all of them, he had to lead game-winning drives, every single one, and they came back as well. He rallied in a few of them, Atlanta, Seattle. Come on, man.
All I know is Eli is undefeated in NFC Championship games and Super Bowls, undefeated.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's go to baseball. And first I want to ask you this. Do you feel like, nowadays the news cycle is just so fast. Stuff that was wildly important and on everyone's radar a week ago, people aren't even thinking about anymore. Do you feel like this cheating scandal in baseball has died down, which I'm sure baseball likes? What are your thoughts? Because, it just seems like it's not really on people's minds at this point.
No, I think if you're in baseball, it's still there. Spring training is not that far away. And obviously, the more players will be available, you'll be able to talk to them. What did you know? Are you shocked by this? Asking other teams, right? You'll be able to,
right.
to finally, they put the muzzle on the Dodgers. But those players are going to be available for spring training. And guarantee you, some of them will say, we got cheated, or we feel bad, or we have a score to settle with them, or whatever it is. Or the Astros can't feel good about that title, and the Red Sox, we're still waiting for that. So the other shoe's going to drop on that. So that story will come back.
Did you think Jose Altuve, who really just completely denied everything, and then Alex Bregman kind of just ignored it in his comments. You know, he really didn't address them. What'd you think of their responses?
Terrible. When you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar, that's what you're going to do, and you try to act like it's going to blow over or it didn't happen,
right,
when everybody's seen it. And so I don't know how these guys can live with themselves, especially, I told you before, Justin Verlander is the biggest anti-cheating and steroids and all the other stuff. And we, unless I missed it, I haven't seen anything from him.
Well, speaking of that, there's another guy you might have a bone to pick with, and that's Pedro Martinez. Now, Pedro Martinez, we talked last week, Rob, Jessica Mendoza, the consultant with the Mets in the front office, the broadcaster on ESPN, she basically said Mike Fears was in the wrong and that he was a bad teammate for ratting out his teammates. Pedro Martinez, you and I both disagreed with her. Pedro Martinez has some interesting comments about that and really leaned toward siding with Mendoza. Here he is.
If he was to do it when he was playing for the Houston Astros, I would say Mike Fiers has guts. But to go and do it after you leave the Houston Astros because they don't have you anymore, that doesn't show me anything. I mean, you're just a bad teammate. Now everybody's going to know that you have a whistleblower in any other situation, too. Whatever happens in the clubhouse, it stays in the clubhouse. And Fiers broke the rules. I mean, I agree with cleaning up the game. I agree with the fact that the commissioner is taking a hard hand on this. But at the same time, players should not be the ones dropping the whistleblower. If you leave Houston, and most likely you didn't agree with Houston when you left it, and then you go and drop the entire team under the bus, I don't trust you. I won't trust you.
Here's what I think, Rob. I think that Pedro Martinez just spoke out of two sides of his mouth.
Clearly.
How do you say
clearly
you're for cleaning up the game, but there can't be whistleblowers in the clubhouse? I'm sure he would not only say that about teammates and players, he probably would say that about assistant coaches, managers, right? He probably means anybody affiliated with the team. So you're not about cleaning up baseball. If you're saying Fear shouldn't have, you know, ratted his team out, he's about cleaning up baseball. Now, I will give him that. Fears would have gotten more points had he come out and said it when he was playing with the Astros. That's tough to do. That is very tough to do. And Martinez knows that as well as anybody. He didn't call anybody out.
I just couldn't disagree more with Pedro Martinez. And I think he's being disingenuous about the whole thing, because I don't remember when he played with the Red Sox he never talked about the steroid problem that they had in their clubhouse with Manny and
right.
Big Poppy both tested positive. Those are facts.
Right.
They tested positive, but they won two championships. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So all I'm saying is Mike Fiers, I respect him from this standpoint, Chris. He still didn't have to put his name to it.
Right, he
could have been anonymous.
Totally.
The biggest stories in this country's history and journalism have come from anonymous sources because they're too hot. They're in the mix. That's how things get changed in this world. He was at least man enough to go on the record.
Right.
He deserves respect. What are you talking about? I don't even understand it.
I totally agree.
He didn't have to do that. He could have gave that story to the Athletic without his name, Chris.
Totally.
And they still would have
had the
same exact impact.
Yes. Same exact effect. No doubt.
So I give him credit that he wasn't trying to hide. He knew it was big enough. He knew if he put his name to it, it would be strong enough. And the thing that he's not talking about, Pedro's not talking about, is every time he pitched in Houston, he got lit up. That's why. That's like what?
That Fiers.
Yes.
Yeah.
He got lit up because he knew
what was going on.
Right.
And you know, that's similar to Eric Mangini.
Absolutely.
Right?
He was in New England.
You're going to do it to me?
Yes. He knows. We know. I was there. How could you do this to me? You know I know what's going on.
Yep.
So I think Pedro, I'm not buying Pedro at all. I think it's, like you say, he's out of both sides of his mouth.
He's not about cleaning up the game.
And he's not talking about that. Talking about, I wouldn't trust him. The reason that we have this is, and I'm going to take it to a serious point. This is where we are with the police department, where bad cops are protected, Chris, by other cops who won't
blue code of
yes,
silence. Blue wall.
And you
yep.
know that they're bad and they did something bad.
Yep.
That's what. This is why these things don't change.
Great point.
Because people aren't willing to step out and say, this is wrong. I always say the worst, the only thing worse than when bad people do bad things is when good people turn their head and don't say anything. How dare you make Mike Fiers out to be some bad guy because he wants the game to be right. And he's telling you this is what's going on. I respect the hell out of him. I think he deserves credit. And to put his name to it.
And I think that's where you're right. Like, again, I'm sure you and most people, including myself, would have given him even more credit had he done it when he was with the Astros. But he kind of evens it out by putting his name on it.
That's what I'm
saying.
That's
the thing. And like, look, what do we hear from people when anonymous quotes come out?
Oh, put your name to
right.
it.
Who if you're is man, it? He's a
man
coward.
Enough,
put the name
right.
on it.
Right. That we hear that all the time. Yep,
he put his name on it, period. He put his name on it. And that is huge. And like Pedro said, some guys in locker rooms won't like him because of it.
That's fine.
He was willing to go there. But Mike Fiers is about cleaning up the game.
And that's why there's all these protections. Even this whole thing in the Trump thing that's going on now. There's a whistleblower, Chris, right? And they try to expose him. There's a reason you're protected, right? Because if you don't...
that's the only way in a lot of cases you're going to get the truth.
You're going to get the truth if you don't protect them, then their careers are ruined. They can't earn a living. So you have to have protections for guys like that. That's why Mike Fiers doing it the way he did it. The Athletic would have run that story with an anonymous quote.
No, and it would have gotten the investigation.
Yes, and it would have gotten the same thing.
Yep. No
it
doubt
made
about it.
It made the report even better. We talked about it before with Jack McDowell, who's putting out there that Tony La Russa, but he never played for Tony La Russa. This is not Mike Fiers making up something. I was on the team.
Right.
That's even more credibility when you have a story with somebody who was in that clubhouse, who was on that in that dugout bench.
And also, if you're Fiers, and you brought up the point that he would get rocked every time he went to Houston, that's disrespectful, too. On the Astros part. It's disrespectful, period,
yes.
And wrong. But to do it when I know that you're doing it.
Right.
You're still going to do it. You're just saying he's not man enough to call it out.
Yes, that's
right?
Exactly what it is. And you'll just take it.
Right.
You'll take it from us.
I'll take it if I know it's above board and you're just getting the best
exactly.
of me. But when I know you're cheating.
And you're killing
and
me.
And now you're going to basically throw it in my face like, punk, what you going to do? What now, you going to, you know?
That's exactly what it was. And I tell you, I think, and you know what? And I get it, Chris. The other part, when they come out, remember, you just lost, and I'm going to say with Mendoza and with Pedro, you just lost some really well-respected Hispanic players who fell by the wayside in Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like they lost their gigs, all that. You know, their names are muddy now. You don't know where they fit in baseball as we go forward. So I get that. And I know, you know, they're probably close to them and have some friendships or whatever. But I think this is the wrong tack. Even if it's your friend who happens to be collateral damage, you know what I mean, throughout
right.
this, it ain't right
you
to go after Mike Fiers. No.
Cheating.
No, never.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Look, let me start out by saying this. I have the utmost respect for Kobe Bryant, not only as a great basketball player, but for his basketball intelligence. His intelligence, period. Got like, what, 1,300 plus on the SATs, running successful business. Now, I mean, he's a brainiac. And he has a great basketball IQ. But I think something he said today is ludicrous. And here it is.
I think there are a couple players that can play in the NBA right now, honestly. I mean, there's a lot of players that have a lot of skill that can do it. Diana Taurasi, Maya Moore, Ella Deladon. I mean, there's a lot of great players out there, so they could most certainly keep up with me.
So he basically said there are women in the WNBA, or women period, who can play in the NBA today. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. And it's just a matter of physicality and speed. I think the best women in the world, basketball-wise, are on the level of really, really good high school boys basketball players. Ones that are going mid-major, maybe low D1. And here's one of the reasons I say that. Because we know how big of a part of the game athleticism is. If you look at one of the greatest barometers of athleticism is jumping ability and speed. In the 100-yard dash, 100-meter dash, world-class female sprinters running 10.8, 10.7, 10.9. That's what really, really good high school boys run. The great ones blow that out of the water, 10.5, 10.4, 10.3. And I know you can bring up Flo Jo, you know, but there was something going on there. All right, but jumping. I mean, how many of these women going to be dunking in games? That's how high you get up to get your shot off. Now, skill-wise, I'll say this. Women can be just as skilled as men. But the difference in the physicality, the athleticism, the strength is what would keep them from playing in the NBA. And, I mean, Deladon is 6'5". She'd be playing two guard in the NBA. Come on, it ain't happening. And you can say there's guys that aren't fast and athletic in the NBA. Larry Bird wasn't athletic. Luka Doncic wasn't athletic. But they were strong. And that strength can enable them to get away without being that athletic. How many women going to be that strong? There's a reason why, Rob, if me and you get in a fight, it's two men having a fight. If me and Deb Carson get in a fight, it's a crime on my part. Because yeah. And it should be, because there's a difference in physicality.
Yeah, but Deb Carson might knock you out. You never know.
Well, she might, but I'm, you nah, know what I'm saying.
I'm with Kobe on this. I think that the game has changed so much, and it's a perimeter game. If somebody can knock down threes, we saw, and I'm not calling Steph Curry a girl. But if a little guy like that who can knock down shots
he's
from all
6'3".
Over.
No, I he's get, bigger I, than Maya Moore.
But that doesn't mean that. I'm just saying, if you had some phenomenal shooter, female, who could live on a perimeter, I wouldn't say a woman could have played during the Bulls, Knicks, and Pistons era where the game was more physical. Chris, you got to admit.
Jimmer Fredette can shoot. He's not in the NBA.
I'm just saying.
We see that all the time. Guys who lick college ball okay, up because they can shoot
but I'm
can't
saying,
create their own shot in the
I'm
NBA.
I'm saying some phenomenal woman. The way the game is played now, I think that there could be a special one. I'm not saying the league's 20% women or female. I'm saying there could be a special shooter.
You play one-on-one against Nancy Lieberman.
Yep.
Now, did she play? And I wasn't there, so I'm asking you a serious question. Did she play seriously?
Did
she play you hard? Or was she just fooling around?
No, she was shooting from the perimeter and making her shots.
Did you feel like she was really playing you hard? Like she was trying, or was she just fooling around?
No, she wanted to win.
What was the score?
Maybe 21-11 or 12, something
okay.
like that. Okay. So she
Nancy
wanted to win.
Nancy Lieberman is
She's
one of
Hall
the
of
greatest
Famer.
Female basketball players right. ever. You didn't play high, and I'm not dissing you. I'm just betraying the fact. You didn't play high school basketball.
Yeah, but I still could shoot.
If you played a man who played D1, and a man who played D1 could mop the floor with me. So I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying that's the difference. You could hang in there with a Hall of Famer.
I just think the game has changed so much.
It ain't changed that much.
I think that there could be, at some point, sometime, some really special woman who has an unbelievable shot who could make it happen. I do believe that, Chris.
I really do. I was told a story.
I'm not saying the league is going to open up and all these women are going to play, but I do believe that there could be somebody.
I was told a story about a female Hall of Famer, one of the best female players ever. she played against, she was calling out one of her coaches who was a male who had played in the NBA, and he was in his 40s at this point, had been retired 10 years. She was calling him out. I can beat you one-on-one. I'm not going to say the names, but I can beat you one-on-one. Finally got tired of it. They played one-on-one. He had her to the point she couldn't even dribble. He just locked her up, and she gained respect for him. So I'm not dissing women. I'm just saying that's fantasy.